Thanks.
This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. In the United States, police departments depend on the trust and confidence of those they protect. Citizens have to believe that the police are being fair and that their actions are justified. And that is why many communities, including Charlotte-Mecklenburg, have citizen review boards as a place for citizens to take complaints about police actions. They serve as a kind of police for the police. We've had such a board in this city for 15 or 16 years, but in that entire time, not a single case brought by citizens to the board for review, not a single one, was decided in the citizens' favor. That provoked a review of the review board, and the result of that is a set of recommendations for improvement. And today, we take a look at why citizens have never won a case in 15 years, at the recommendations for change, and how they might impact both public confidence in the police and how the police do their job. We're joined by Alan Adler, who is in his first year of a second three-year term as a member of the Citizens Review Board and is a member of the task force that was charged with coming up for recommendations for changes. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Mike.
Jason Huber is an assistant professor at the Charlotte School of Law. Welcome back to you as well.
Thank you, sir. It's a privilege to be here.
Thank you. Willie Ratchford is executive director of the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Community Relations Committee, a position that he has held for 19 years. Good morning and welcome back to you.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate the opportunity.
And Robert Hageman is the city attorney for the city of Charlotte. Good to see you again as well.
Good morning, Mike.
You're all returnees. Well, I'm glad you came back. The Citizen Review Board was created in 1997 by the Charlotte City Council. Why? What was the impetus for its creation? Maybe you've been here the longest, Willie. Let me ask you that question.
Well, back in 1996-97, we had a couple of unfortunate situations where police officers shot and killed unarmed African American citizens. And due to an outcry in the community, there was concern that there needed to be more oversight of the police department in the process for looking into complaints against police officers.
Were you in on the setting up of that first committee?
Yes, the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Community Relations Committee has actually been involved in this type of work with the police department since 1968, and we had a prominent role in the creation of the Citizens Review Board back in 1997.
So since 1997, how many complaints have been brought before the board for review?
It is my understanding that there are 79 cases have been brought before the actual Citizens Review Board. And none of those have actually, as you indicated earlier, none of those have actually been worked out to the satisfaction of the citizens that filed the complaint. But there are reasons for that.
And these complaints are not, gee, he gave me a ticket and I don't think it's fair. These are complaints that are about alleged misconduct of police officers or the discharge of a firearm by an officer resulting in injury or death. So these are not minor complaints that come before this board.
No, that is correct. They're not minor complaints.
And when you say there were reasons that these complaints that were lodged against police through the police, Citizen Review Board, that there were reasons for these complaints, are you saying that the reasons – I mean, the reasons for the rejection of the complaints, are you saying that the reasons for those rejections were legitimate, or are you saying they simply had reasons for rejecting things that may or may not have been legitimate?
It is my belief that the reasons were, in fact, very legitimate reasons, and it has to do with the work that's done up front by the chief of police in the Internal Affairs Department. Mm-hmm. The police chief and the police community want to get things right. You know, there's no doubt in my mind. And so they do a very thorough investigation initially through internal affairs to make sure that they get it right.
Would the people whose complaints were rejected agree with that assessment?
Probably not. The reason I feel so confident about this is that since 1968, the Community Relations Committee has had a person to actually sit in on those complaints. And since 1997, we have been a voting member of that process. Mm-hmm. And it is our job in part to make sure that the police department gets it right. And if they don't, then to inform the chief of police and the city manager.
The Citizen Review Board is made up of 11 members, as I understand it, three of whom are appointed by the mayor, three are appointed by the city manager, five by the city council. You are, Alan, in your first year of a new three-year term. So this is your second term on the Citizen Review Board. Who appointed you and why did they feel that you were somebody who should be on the board?
Good question, Mike.
Because I've known you for years. And let me just say. No, I'm just kidding.
The city council became an advocate for me. I've been working with public safety for a number of years in charitable organizations, including the Charlotte Rotary Club. Over 8 years, we raised over $500,000 that all went to scholarships for the children of our police, fire, medic, and sheriff's office. So I've had a real deep interest in their work, and I'm a graduate of both the Police Citizens Academy and the Sheriff's Academy.
So you've had training in terms of what is your relationship with those two academies? What has it given you?
Well, the attendance to the Citizens Police Academy is a requirement mm-hmm. to be nominated or advocated for to join the Citizens Review Board.
And that there, academy does what for you?
Well, it's any citizen can apply to take that class, provided they don't have an arrest.
But what does it do? That's what I'm trying to get at.
Well,
it
gives you an inside view of how the police make decisions mm-hmm. When they're doing their job. And it requires a number of ride-alongs with the police department. It is about the most formal training because there is no other training available for people who sit on the board.
So the people on the board have some training, some exposure to what goes on behind the scenes at the police, some of exposure to what police officers are up against in the field. They're not just political appointees. Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
And the backgrounds of most of the people who have historically been appointed to this board are what? And I don't know who to ask that question of, but what are their backgrounds? What have they been primarily?
That they've been the cross-section, their peers of the community, their citizens.
Are they movers and shakers? Are they businessmen? Are they rich and poor, black and white?
All of the above.
It's probably fair to say that the appointments over the years is actually is representative of the population here in Charlotte.
Okay.
They are a microcosm of the larger community.
According to information, Jason Huber, that you supplied us, there are over 115 municipalities that have something similar to our Citizen Review Board. And in the 16 years since ours was established, the board never sided with a person complaining. Is that the case in most of the other 114 or 15 municipalities, or are we an anomaly?
We're an anomaly. And it certainly is not the case in other municipalities that have a stronger Citizen Review Board structure that the Citizen Review Board always sides with the police department. But when we did our research in respect to the Charlotte Citizens Review Board, there was another statistic that was very troubling to us. And not only was it that citizens never prevailed, but out of all 79 cases, Mike, out of all 79 cases, the board only voted 6 times to have a full hearing on the merits. So in every other case besides those 6 instances, the citizens did not get to fully air their grievances against the police department.
We should talk about the process then. How does this work? I have a grievance with the police department. What do I do?
Well, the first step that the individual has to do is file the complaint with the police department. Mm-hmm. And then the police department conducts an internal affairs investigation. And then the chief ultimately renders a decision as to whether or not the chief is going to discipline and how severely the chief is going to discipline the individual accused police officer. It is from that decision that the individual can appeal to the Citizens Review Board. Now, when I talked about
So in other words, if I, as the person complaining, come to the police investigate, and I don't like the outcome of that decision.
Correct.
That's when I escalate it to the board?
It's the only time you can take it to the board. In fact, the board does not have jurisdiction to independently investigate allegations of police misconduct, and that was one of the fundamental flaws in the structures that we identified.
It might help, Mike, if we were to put this into perspective.
Okay.
And the perspective is that since 1998, there have been the CMPD, Internal Affairs Division, has received and investigated almost 6,000 complaints against the police officer. Of those cases, 21% were eligible to be reviewed by the CRB.
Eligible under regulations set up by the board or by the city when they created the board? Is that what you're saying?
Bob?
You're the attorney
by the
here.
City. Yes, by the city council in the ordinance that adopted.
Okay.
And of that total again, 550 of the CRB complaints were eligible, that, and they were sustained as being eligible. In other words, those could have been heard if the people decided to go forward.
So if you don't like the decision, I'm going to get back to the process. You don't like the decision of the police chief after the internal investigation. You can then request that the board look into this. And what you're saying is that in the 16 years since the establishment of the board, only how many? Six cases?
The board only devoted to conduct six full evidentiary hearings.
Why would that be, Alan?
That would be for several reasons. The degree or the threshold to which the CRB was required to meet stated that the claimant, the person making the complaint, had to demonstrate to the CRB that there was a preponderance of the evidence that the police chief may not have acted correctly or in his authoritative, in his discretionary position.
And this seems okay to you, Willie? I mean, it seems to me that you're putting a lot of trust in the police to police themselves.
And actually, Mike, what I'm saying is that either myself or someone from my office has been in on the internal affairs investigation, and we know that they're getting it right because we're helping them to get it right. You have to keep in mind, if I might go back to something that Jason said, in some of these cases, you actually had situations where as a result of the IA investigation, IA agreed with the citizen that the officer did something wrong and should be punished, and the citizen was upset, but he wasn't punished enough, so that was the reason for appealing the complaint.
But you just said, Jason, that we're an anomaly among the other boards like this in the country. Why? Are we just that much better in our internal investigations than the rest of the country?
It could be a combination of things. And I want the record to be clear about one thing. The result of our research does not lead us to the conclusion that the CRC or the chief is doing a poor job in internal affairs investigation. In fact, the information that we've learned through this process indicates that Chief Monroe takes his duty to conduct internal affairs investigations seriously and does a good job. This is a question about whether or not there should be a fair process to which people could go to when they are not satisfied with the results of the internal affairs investigation. And our research across the nation demonstrated that we have a structure of a review board that, if you think about it as a spectrum, on one end of the spectrum are very weak review board structures, and on the other end of the spectrum are very strong review board structures. On the strong side, you see independent budgets, staff attorneys, independent investigators outside of the chain of command with a fact-finding determination and compulsory process that can require people to come before the board. That's the strongest model. There's very few of those, understandably. Then on the weakest end of the model, you have a situation where the review board just simply acts as a mediator or a mediator between the community and the police department. That's sort of like what Asheville has. And then somewhere in the gray area in the middle, you have what's called an appellate review structure. And that's what Charlotte has. And it's designed to appeal or to review the decisions, but built into that structure is an extraordinary amount of deference given to the police department through the standards of proof that people have to meet. And that extraordinary deference structurally made it impossible for people to prevail in front of the CRB.
Jason Huber is assistant professor at the Charlotte School of Law, and they undertook an investigation into this, a review of the review board. And we'll explore some of what they came up with as we go through the program. Robert Hageman is also with the city attorney for the city of Charlotte, Alan Adler, member of the review board, and Willie Ratchford. We're coming right back. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Community School of the Arts, teaching art and music at more than a dozen studios across Charlotte. Now registering for spring group classes and private lessons. Details at csarts.org. And Ecolicious, a retail store providing cruelty-free and eco-friendly products, offering locally made goods for holiday gift giving, located in Plaza Midwood. Details at ecoliciouscharlotte.com. Well, the Great Recession caused a lot of folks to become shy of investing in the stock market. But if you got out in 2008 and never got back in, or you moved your retirement savings into very safe instrument, well, then you missed out on the record surge in the market. What is a prudent investor to do? We've invited two leading financial planners to join us and share their thoughts on how to invest at various stages of your life, from just starting out to getting ready to retire tomorrow at 9.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, President Obama says he'll focus his last 3 years in office on reducing income inequality in America. The pros and cons of one of the president's key proposals, raising the federal minimum wage.
Join the Diane Rehm Show this morning from 10 to noon after Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE, Charlotte's NPR news source.
We're back and we're talking about the Police Review Board and recommendations for change, the Citizen Review Board of the Police Department, and recommendations for change that have been put forth in the last month or so. I want to go back to process here because I want to make people sure. I want to make sure that people understand what has been the process. And Alan, in the break, Alan Adler, you were saying that there are two investigations that go on independently and concurrently within the police department before anything is decided upon, whether a case should be escalated or whether or not the officers involved will be disciplined, and if so, how. Talk about those two investigations.
Well, one is carried on by Internal Affairs, mm-hmm. and the second—
And they deal with the officers who were involved in the incident? The Internal Affairs Department?
That is correct.
Okay.
And then there is a separate series of meetings going on with the chain of command, although it's not the officer's chain of command. Mm-hmm. So there would be, if the officer were a patrolman, there would be a sergeant, a major, et cetera, also looking at the same set of information.
So the second review board, the people not involved directly with internal affairs, may not even know the officer.
Personally. They may not have had a history.
The Bob Hageman is here. He's the city attorney. And we're going to talk about how these recommendations came about because the Charlotte School of Law did a study of this and came up with some opinions about the current process and with some recommendations for change. Is this the first time that people have come to the city and said, this process doesn't work well?
This is the most comprehensive review since the ordinance was enacted back in the 90s. And I think from the city's perspective, we appreciate and welcome the interest and the attention brought to this issue by the School of Law and other folks who are active in the community. We're always willing and welcome the opportunity to reconsider past legislative decisions to make things better. And I think through this process, we do have a better ordinance. Technical point, but important one, Mike, you referred to these as recommendations. The City Council actually voted to amend the ordinance on November 25th.
Okay.
So the changes have been made and are taking effect.
Okay. And Willie, I'm actually surprised, Willie Ratchford, that you're pretty copacetic with all of this, the way it's been going on. You seem very level-headed about it because, as you say, a member of your committee, the Community Relations Committee, has sat in on every single complaint that has been filed, and you think that they were disposed of fairly and with rational thought. You don't seem opposed to, but when the Charlotte School of Law looked into this, they didn't like what they saw very much, and we'll go into that in a second. Mm-hmm. How come you guys didn't see it?
Well, I think if you look at the study by the Charlotte School of Law, they're looking at the process. And they have some concerns about that setup, a preponderance of evidence being a very high standard that the chief of police abused his discretion. That is a very high hurdle to overcome, and that was their concern. They did not look into internal affairs and the way that internal affairs conducts its investigation and the decisions that it makes. We are part of that process, and our job, again, is to make sure that the police get it right. We're not going to sit in on those hearings, mm-hmm. Spend the amount of time and energy that we do, and then allow them to do something that we know is detrimental to this community.
So you've had no serious concerns, no serious reservations about the outcome of any of these cases that have come before, any of the complaints that have come from citizens to the police and been dispensed with through the process, or any of the concerns that were then escalated to the Citizen Review Board and been through that process. You have no serious reservations or concerns about any of those cases.
I have no serious reservations, especially the ones that we have actually sat in. We've studied the case files, the Lone Wolf Internal Affairs. Mm-hmm. We've sat in on the interview process when the officer actually went before his chain of command. And again, our job is to make sure that the police department gets it right.
So the Charlotte School of Law has this entity called the Civil Rights Clinic, if I understand this correctly, and they are the people that came up with the idea to wade into this investigation, to analyze what had been going on with the Citizen Review Board and with the police department these past 15, 16 years, correct?
That's correct, sir.
If Willie Ratchford, who is a community relations He's the knight of community relations.
Indeed.
He's been doing this for 19 years. If he has no serious
He's a very sharp dresser as well.
If he has no reservations, why did you think this was important enough to look into this?
Well, we were approached in the fall of 2010. Multiple generations of law students have participated in this research project, and they'll be the first to tell you that I'm happy to take credit for their wonderful work. And we were approached by an individual who had an allegation of police misconduct, and as part of our due diligence investigation into determining whether or not we wanted to undertake representation, we came across the Citizens Review Board and decided to take a hard look as to whether or not the Citizens Review Board is an available alternative, less formal and less expensive forum besides litigation to which people can avail themselves if they have allegations of police misconduct. And in order to determine that, we had to look at the history. And so we filed public records requests going back to the inception of the creation of the Citizen Review Board to the present. And when we started to look at that information, it raised an eyebrow when we saw the 79 in those statistics. And so we wanted to kind of get behind that information a little bit. And in order to do so, we carefully studied the entire public record of the Citizen Review Board and then identified as many complainants as we possibly could. You can imagine how difficult it would be to go and find people's addresses and actually contact people in order to interview them. But as a result of all of that, we ultimately reached the conclusion that there are fundamental flaws in the structure of the board. Our report doesn't say anything about the very well-intentioned volunteer servants that, like Mr. Alda, who serve on the board, or like Willie, who take their job very seriously. But what it told us was that there's a flaw in the structure of the board that needs to be addressed.
Would you agree with that, Alan? You've been on the board for 4 years.
Could you restate the question?
Yes. Would you agree that there's a flaw in the structure of the board?
There was a flaw.
That there was a flaw in the structure of the board.
Well, let me make it clear. I'm not authorized. I'm not here and
your personal opinion
to speak on behalf of the board.
Your personal opinion as a member of the board.
I had frustrations oftentimes on cases that we were presented, but we were compelled to act within the guidelines that we had with the ordinance.
We'll go into the findings that the Civil Rights Clinic at the Charlotte School of Law came up with, but did their findings surprise you, Bob, or you, Willie? Bob Hageman.
I suppose on the surface, the statistics are somewhat startling in terms of the lack of number of cases where the full hearing was held or that the board actually disagreed with the chief. But I go back to what Willie was saying. In order for a case to get to that point, it will have gone through IA. And what can get lost are the large number of cases, relatively speaking, where the police chief, through the internal investigative process, has in fact disciplined an officer. In the vast majority of those cases, there's no further appeal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's difficult to take out of context just the cases that appear before the CRB. I'll also mention that in addition to the CRB, and Professor Huber referenced this, citizens have other avenues to seek redress. One is the formal claim process, in particular if they're seeking monetary damages for what they allege is harm by a police officer. They could file a claim. In many cases, we acknowledge wrong and fairly compensate our citizens. That also could go through civil litigation.
Willie Ratchford, was this a surprise to you?
It was not a surprise to me because any process that you have can always can stand for improvement.
Mm-hmm.
And what they found was that there were some instances in the process that could be different, that would make the process better, that would cause the public to perceive the process as being better. But as far as any flaws in the investigation process of internal affairs mm-hmm. and them getting it right or not, no one has said that they don't get it right. No one has said that they've done anything wrong.
How can it be possible in 16 years that not a single case brought by a citizen has been decided in their favor? Not one. How can that be possible? What are the odds against that? Bob.
Well, I go back to what I said previously. I think there's a false premise in that question, Mike.
Okay.
There are many, many cases where the police on their own through IA have agreed with the citizen and taken action against officers. Those are cases that, using your phrase, have been resolved in favor of the citizen. There are numerous cases where the city has been sued for alleged police misconduct, and we have settled or in some cases gone to trial and lost those cases.
And so these didn't go to the board?
These did not go to the CRB.
Okay.
So you've got to look at the CRB in the context of all the other avenues that citizens have.
They're like the Supreme Court.
Well,
the case doesn't go to them. They're the court of last resort.
I'm not sure I'd buy that analogy because okay. the courts are still available and mm-hmm. the court process includes the Supreme Court.
Okay.
The CRB process does not lead to a judicial outcome. It is it's a safety valve or a backstop to take another look by a group of citizens who are educated and care about this community to take a look at decisions made by the chief.
Would I be safe in saying that had it not been for the Charlotte School of Law and this project that they undertook to look into how this process has worked over 16 years, that if they had not done that, we'd be operating under the status quo? Nothing would have changed.
Correct? And the Charlotte Observer, who ran the series of front page articles to raise the awareness of the community.
Is that a bad thing?
I'm not saying it's – I'm saying that the Observer has a lot to do with with the,
but is that a bad thing?
I don't think it's a bad thing.
Okay,
no, not, and I don't totally agree with that premise. I think that something probably would have happened eventually. It's just that this particular report by the Charlotte School of Law and the series of articles written by the Charlotte Observer just happened to be the impetus for it happening at this time.
Because Jason Huber with the Charlotte School of Law, you have said that under the old system, citizens were overmatched by police. Even the board's attorney said that citizens were at a disadvantage. In what way?
Well, the biggest disadvantage was the initial hurdle that citizens had to meet in order to simply get the board to vote to have a full hearing so the board could investigate the merits of the citizen's complaint. And at the beginning of the process, what the citizen had to prove was that by a preponderance of the evidence, the chief of police abused his or her discretion in deciding not to discipline a police officer or in deciding to not discipline a police officer seriously enough. Now, that's an extremely high threshold at the outset, and it's particularly high when you think about the circumstances in which the complainant finds them at that initial meeting. The board would make the determination by first asking the complainant to come into a room and talk to the complainant about what their allegations were. And then the board would dismiss the complainant, and then the board would hear from the Internal Affairs Department or the city attorney or the police department's attorney outside of the presence of the complainant. So the complainant never had the opportunity to hear the other side or confront the other side about the allegations. And so inevitably, that becomes very unfair. And you see statistics that result like we have.
Why was it said – I'm not sure anybody is qualified to answer this question because nobody was here, I don't think, at the time it was said. You are, Bob. Well, good. Why was it set up this way? Was it purposeful or was it an after – just simply not thought out properly, or was this something that people thought was the best way to do it?
A personal observation, Mike. Back in 96 when this was being looked at and Willie talked about the impetus for creating the board, it was not necessarily welcomed at that time by the police chief mm-hmm. and the police department. There was some resistance. And as you can imagine, through the political process, what resulted was an ordinance that had the standards that Professor Huber identified, which I think we all would admit were pretty high and difficult standards. In this go-around, the culture was a lot different. Chief Monroe was very receptive to taking another look at this. He was very willing to consider a lower standard of review of his decision. And in fact, what was adopted by the city council was endorsed and recommended by Chief Monroe and the city manager, Ron Carley.
Okay. The Charlotte School of Law's evaluation of the Citizens Review Board, you pointed out, Jason, that the board reviewed individual complaints rather than reviewing the police department as a whole, and that without this broader perspective, the CRB was hindered in providing effective oversight. Mm-hmm. Why would every single case have to include an overview of the entire police department?
I don't think every single case has to include an overview of the entire police department. What I meant to say was that as a result of our research, the ideal result that we would have hoped for when change occurred was to empower the CRB to be an independent fact finder. In other words, empower the CRB to go investigate and make a determination as to whether or not a particular act occurred. And we did not achieve that result in this most recent round of reforms. But the research shows us that when CRBs are charged with independent fact-finding, that we get better results and more accountability. Now, that being said, we do recognize that the lowering of the initial threshold to get a hearing is a substantial step forward, and we applaud the efforts of everybody around this table and those that are not around this table in trying to develop a working consensus around what changes should occur. And I think the best working consensus we have is around the initial threshold and that it needed to be lowered. And so the Charlotte School of Law and the Civil Rights Clinic, you know, applauds the efforts of everybody. And Matt Newton was instrumental, I think, in organizing the community as well as the Observer articles and everybody that's put effort into this.
So the outcome of all of this is kumbaya. Is that what
it's kumbaya light, Mike. It's kumbaya light.
Back on April 1st, the mayor requested that a task force be created to look into the issues that were, you know, brought out by mm-hmm. the School of Law and by the coalition of community leaders that was headed up by Matt Newton. And Patricia Albritton, the chairman of the CRC, set up the three benchmarks that we were to look at in creating recommendations that would go forth to a new ordinance, mm-hmm. potentially. And that was to look at what we were doing and why we should keep doing it, what we should start doing that we aren't doing today, and what we should stop doing. And those three questions were set up into the forms of a survey that the police department could take and a separate survey for the public to take. And it was through that process the task force worked through a culmination of recommendations that were put into legalese for a new ordinance, and then the group that the city management group, I forgot what that's called, council management, is representatives of city council reviewed those on an ongoing basis with us, and ultimately we came out with a new ordinance that was just approved a week and a half ago.
In the report that the Charlotte School of Law did, Jason, you say that in Charlotte, citizen complaints are always initially investigated and determined by internal affairs and the chief of police, something we've talked about here.
That's correct.
In this hour. Your study does not suggest, however, changing that process. Am I correct in that?
Yeah, there always has to be an internal affairs investigation. Okay. No question.
But help me understand why I'm going to ask the question. We'll get the answer after the break. But why that's a good way to do business unless somebody else is also investigating the complaint from outside the police department? Because isn't that kind of like the fox guarding the hen house? We have to stop. We'll take a break. We'll come back and get an answer to that in a moment. Charlotte Talks on WFAU. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Blumenthal Performing Arts, offering gift certificates, a holiday gift of entertaining giving or entertainment giving for friends, family, and clients. Details available at blumenthalarts.org/gift. And Raven Moon Emporium, all-natural herb and gift shop. nourishing the mind, body, and soul. Over 300 organic herbs, spices, and more than 50 herbal teas. Custom blending available. Details at RavenMoonEmporium.com. President Obama said he will focus his last 3 years in office on reducing income inequality in America, the pros and cons of one of the president's key proposals, the topic of the conversation on the Diane Rehm Show, raising the federal minimum wage. That happens in 20 minutes at 10 o'clock. And if you'd like to join our conversation, WFAE.org/Charlotte Talks. We'll start you on the road to us. We're coming right back. Being connected is important to you. That's one reason why you listen to WFAE. We want to help you stay connected by offering the latest MacBook Air to one lucky listener. With your MacBook Air, staying connected is easy, from your morning coffee till you go to bed in the evening. Register to win at 704-549-9000 or WFAE.org. No contribution is necessary, but we hope you'll make a financial gift to WFAE. The contest ends at midnight, December 31st. It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about the Citizens Review Board of the Police Department and recommendations for change which have been adopted and are now being implemented as a result of a vote by the City Council. We're having this discussion with Jason Huber, an assistant professor at the Charlotte School of Law. It is their organization, their school, that came up with the initial look into the fact that over 16 years of the CRB's existence, or 15 years, citizens have never won a case. Willie Ratchford is executive director of the Community Relations Committee, and a member of which has been on in every police investigation in those 16 years. Alan Adler is a member of the Citizen Review Board, and Robert Hageman is the city attorney for the city of Charlotte. So, Jason, in your report, let's get back to this question I asked just before the break. Complaints are always initially investigated and determined by internal affairs and the chief of police before they get escalated to the Citizen Review Board. You're not really asking for that process to change. Why not? It seems to me that it's the fox guarding the hen house.
Well, we thought that the recommendation which we proposed for independent investigative authority would be an appropriate check on the fox guarding the hen house. And so we did not propose accepting the current model. We proposed empowering the review board to pursue an independent fact-finding mission. And that would temper the fox guarding the hen house notion of the police policing themselves.
And was that a recommendation that was adopted by the city council?
The city council did not adopt that aspect of our recommendation.
So nothing has changed in that aspect of it?
Nothing has changed in respect to the jurisdiction that the Citizens Review Board has concerning its investigatory powers, correct?
Some have said that Charlotte has one of the weakest citizen review boards in the nation. Would you agree with that?
It's towards the weaker end of the spectrum, yes.
Doesn't that need to be changed? I mean, as long as you looked into this, doesn't that need to be changed?
It has been changed, and it's moved the CRB a little further towards the stronger end of the spectrum, but it is still
– But if citizens file a complaint with the police and the police investigate and they determine that it doesn't qualify, or if they discipline an officer – to the degree that they think is necessary, and the citizen disagrees with the decision, they still can't take that complaint to the Citizen Review Board, can they?
They can now.
They
yes.
can now. Mm-hmm. So that has changed. That is a change.
They always could appeal to the Citizens Review Board from the Chief of Police's decision.
And what would the Citizen Review Board's position be if the Chief of Police has already determined in his expert opinion that this is not something that is worth escalating, or I have disposed of this matter in a manner to which I think is fair and equitable to everybody concerned, yet the citizen still disagrees? What would your position on the board be at that point?
Well, we listen to the complainant in a review process. And then make the determination of whether or not this should move to the next level of having a full hearing where ideally all of the people involved in the incident were present and people could be cross-examined. It would be like a court of law.
Willie Ratchford brought up something in the break that I think is kind of interesting, that the concurrent investigations that have traditionally gone on, one with the Internal Affairs Division of the Police Department and another with people not in the chain of command of the officer involved, what if they reach, and have they ever reached, different conclusions? Does anybody know?
I think on the internal process, I'm not aware of any different conclusions having been reached. One of the questions I was raising during the break was that if we were to have a CRB that had independent investigative authority, and we also had internal affairs doing a concurrent investigation, what happens if those two bodies come to two different conclusions? And I have not heard anyone respond to that as of yet, and obviously that's something that would be needed if that type of process was set up.
Jason.
Yeah, I think under that hypothetical scenario, that's exactly what we would want to happen, is that there are certain circumstances where we would want a sufficiently empowered independent investigative agency to reach a different conclusion than the Internal Affairs Department reached. That's the whole purpose of having a independent objective review board. Now, the process after that is up for grabs. There are various models around the country, but when you have these independent investigative agencies that reach different conclusions, they make their recommendation to the city manager, and the city manager then has to figure out some way to resolve the conflict. Or in some instances, the review board can invoke the discipline themselves.
So that we can be clear about this, the Charlotte School of Law's civil rights committee.
Clinic, yes, sir.
Clinic looked into the history of the Citizen Review Board.
Correct.
Did an analysis of it, came up with recommendations. Then the Citizens Review Board Task Force did something similar. So there are two different sets of recommendations. How much of those recommendations match?
Well, the task force determined, and it was made up of members of the CRC and I believe it was five members of the CRB.
That is correct.
CRC is the Citizen
Community Relations,
Relations okay. Committee, right. And the CRB. And we decided to look at stakeholders, the community, mm-hmm. and seek. We had several meetings. We had two public meetings that were fully open to the public on different dates and different locations for them to bring us their recommendations of what should we keep doing, what should we stop doing, what should we start doing, what should we stop doing. Mm-hmm. And it was from and then we had an additional meeting with the entire task force and the School of Law, a separate meeting with the coalition, and another meeting with the police department.
Mm.
And every member
– and the recommendations that were considered by City Council came from which body, the Charlotte School of Law or the Citizen Review Board Task Force?
It's probably fair to say that there were many entities that made recommendations. Mm-hmm. Nobody got everything that they want. Mm-hmm. So the final list of recommendations is a combination of input from the police department, the city manager's office, citizens groups – just plain citizens responding to a survey. So many entities had opportunities to make recommendations. So that final list of recommendations approved by City Council actually came from them all.
Bob, you wanted to chime in on this too, I believe.
Well, more precisely, the final recommendation came out of a council committee,
mm-hmm.
And was a recommendation made by City Manager Carley with the support of the police chief. So I would describe it as the council committee and ultimately the full council distilled all the input that came from the various groups and landed in the place they did with the ordinance adopted November
20th. The reason I ask is because Jason has said, or his group has said, that we have one of the weakest, have had one of the weakest citizen review boards in the nation. And critics of the recommendations that went before City Council and which were voted on have been described by some critics as the changes as being stunningly minor. would you agree with that?
I would not characterize the changes as being stunningly minor at all.
But you have called them grossly inadequate.
I have called them grossly inadequate.
What's the difference?
Inadequate.
You've called them grossly inadequate. Other critics have said stunningly minor.
In the context of the grossly inadequate complaint, I was asked what would be the ideal situation for an independent review board. In the context of the history of the CRB and the legislative and political process that went into this compromise, I don't think they are necessarily grossly inadequate. I don't think they're sufficient, but it's sort of like the Rolling Stones song. It's kind of how we feel. You can't always get what you want, but we got something. Mm-hmm. And we are pleased that we were able to influence the process such that the initial threshold is a little bit lower.
Among the recommendations, and I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, because I did not know exactly what was voted on and what the outcome was. Among the recommendations was one to maintain the appellate structure of the Citizen Review Board with no subpoena power or independent investigative responsibilities. Is that correct?
That's correct, and there's a legal reason, particularly on a subpoena issue. Uh-huh. As we analyzed the issue, we concluded legally that the City Council did not have the authority to authorize the CRB to issue subpoenas, that authorization would have to come from Raleigh. So it was certainly a request, a proposal that we advised, and I don't know that anybody has taken issue with this conclusion. We advised that the City Council does not have the authority without getting authority from Raleigh.
What, is there some resistance to getting authority from Raleigh for that?
Well, that's a separate political question.
But just because they can't issue a subpoena does not mean they can't investigate. The way this is phrased, maintain the appellate structure of the Citizen Review Board with no subpoena power or independent investigative responsibilities. Can they not investigate?
Here, Mike, I think is the fundamental philosophical question, and it's a policy choice, clearly. We've talked a fair amount about it this morning. Do we want a system that leaves primarily the police chief in control of the department to manage the department as a professional with an appropriate amount of citizen oversight as we've attempted to structure, as the City Council has attempted to structure with the CRB? Or are we going to turn over full decision-making authority to an independent citizen board? Mm-hmm. And I don't know that I have a particular opinion on that question, but that's the policy choice, and I would submit that it is not a bad policy or a wrong policy to trust the chief primarily with appropriate safeguards to run the department as a police chief sees fit.
Jason, you've been writing furiously during that.
Well, I think there's a larger philosophical discussion that could be had, but possibly not in the short time that we have left on the air, and that is whether or not individual law enforcement officers that oftentimes without preclearance can take somebody's liberty and certainly on occasion take life aren't subject to some type of independent investigatory agency. All professionals are subject to it. Doctors, lawyers, contractors, cosmetologists. We all have to answer to somebody outside of our chain of command and to somebody that has independent fact-finding authority. And that is simply all that we were advocating for in respect to the CRB.
Harvey Kadowitz, is that how you say his name? Vice Chairman of the Citizen Review Board and a member of the task force that came up with these recommendations, defended the report saying that those who were seeking an overhaul of the CRB. We're looking to really revamp the CRB, but he said the board is an appellate group and they wanted us to become an investigative group. Well, given the track record of never deciding ever in 16 years on a citizen complaint in their favor, why wouldn't you want it to become an investigative group, Alan?
Well, first and foremost, the group doesn't have the training to do that. There's no one in the current CRB.
Well, the Charlotte School of Law says, their study says that the board's hands, and you've been on the board, have been tied by extremely stringent procedural barriers lending toward decision that favor the police.
I don't know that I can fully agree with that. The board has had a recommendation power and authority. The board has made recommendations on a number of occasions. Those recommendations have been accepted for the most part. And so there is a certain amount that the board can do. But the board, I think the recommendation that the College of Law was suggesting was to add people that would be paid to be investigators and another person to administrate the necessary paperwork and requirements that would also be necessary. And those would be paid for positions for which there is no budget for today.
One of the phrases that you have brought up throughout this conversation is the preponderance of evidence phrase. You've suggested, or somebody has suggested, one of these two entities that investigated this and came up with the standards of review said that altering the standard of review to hold a full hearing from All right, let me go back because I'm getting confused in my own mind. To get a full hearing by the board, the standard of review was a preponderance of the evidence of an abuse of discretion had to be proven. Now you want to change that to substantial evidence that an error occurred in the investigation of a citizen's complaint or the disciplinary decision concerning the officer. How do you determine the difference between preponderance to substantial?
Let me be clear, Mike. We didn't actually propose the second standard that you stated. That was the standard that came out of the process that the city council eventually adopted. What we wanted to do was lower the standard to probable cause. So similar to an individual police officer charging an individual a crime, all they have to do is establish probable cause or a reasonable belief that something occurred. That's the exact same threshold that we wanted the citizens to be subject to in order simply to get a full merits hearing. Mm-hmm. And we were not successful in persuading the city council to lower that threshold to probable cause, which is the same threshold police officers have to meet when they arrest somebody.
Bob.
Well, a couple points, Mike. One, under the old ordinance, we've correctly identified the standard. It was a preponderance of evidence of an abuse of discretion, which I would concede is a pretty high standard. And that was a standard both to go from the initial complaint to a full investigation, as well as to make a recommendation that the chief's decision should be overturned or changed. Under the new ordinance, we have collapsed the appeal into a single process. It is when you file your complaint, you have an appeal, and the threshold for seeking additional evidence, which is a more thorough investigation, is substantial evidence, which means some evidence, not necessarily a majority, but more than a scintilla of an error.
Hope, we had a caller who couldn't hold, who points out that Willie Ratchford is a city employee. Is that true?
That is correct. For 38 years now.
So how can you be impartial in this process when investigating city employees?
Well, let me respond to that question
quickly.
Quickly. If you go over the past 13 years and you look at the 100 police officers who have been terminated from their positions as a result of this process, I don't think that they would say that we were not impartial.
Okay. Gene emails, there appears to be a conflict of interest when the city has any involvement in the Police Citizens Review Board or mediators in district criminal court. Bob.
Well, that's certainly a perspective. Mm-hmm. I mentioned before, I'll mention again, that citizens who are unhappy always have the right to access directly civil court to seek a redress of their grievances.
Robert Hageman is city attorney for the City of Charlotte. Alan Adler, a member of the Citizens Review Board. Willie Ratchford, executive director of the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Community Relations Committee. And Jason Huber, an assistant professor at the Charlotte School of Law. Should we feel good about this?
Yes.
To be continued.
Yes. Yes.